All right. The message that the Lord laid on my heart is when Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem, you know the story. There was no room in the inn. There was no vacancy. And so I would like to, the Lord this week just impressed on me to preach a message about no room, no vacancy. But before we get into the message, I have some Christmas humor. So if you don't like humor, this is a time you can like go on your phone or something. Here's some humor. I once bought my kid a set of batteries for Christmas with a note on it saying, toys not included. So I don't know, when I was a kid, you know, you bought batteries and they came four in a pack. Now you can go to Costco and get 2,000 batteries in there, you know. Everything needs batteries today. Christmas is a baby shower that went totally overboard. So, you know, this is sad here. You know you're getting old when Santa starts looking younger. So, what do you call people who are afraid of Santa Claus? Claustrophobic. You guys are good. Claustrophobic. What do you get when you combine a Christmas tree with an iPad? When you combine a Christmas tree with an iPad. Close. Pineapple. I'll let you take time to soak that in. So, what did Adam say the day before Christmas? It's Christmas Eve. All right, well, I tried. Now, yeah, this one, I don't know how this got in here. I should have eliminated this one because it has nothing to do with Christmas. So smile outside a church in Michigan, honk if you love Jesus, keep on texting while you drive if you want to meet him. So, but that should have been eliminated. This year, my wife bought a bird feeder that's been in the backyard. She loves the birds, but it has become actually a squirrel feeder. And I actually love the squirrels. There's red squirrels, black squirrels, gray squirrels. She goes crazy. She yells at them. At first, they would run away, but now she can yell all she wants, and they will not leave. They will just keep eating. Then she started throwing stones at them, but they, after a while, they realized that she couldn't hit them. So they don't even, that doesn't even scare them. So, but in Mars, at the Burrow Building, the hardware store, and the church, they were having a squirrel infestation. Yeah. And here it is. Three buildings in Mars were overrun by squirrels. The town hall, the hardware store, the church. The town hall brought in some cats. But after they tore up all the files, the mayor got rid of the cats, the predators, and soon the squirrels were back. The hardware store humanely trapped the squirrels and set them free outside town. But 3 days later, the squirrels climbed back in. Only the church came up with an effective solution. They baptized the squirrels and made them members. Now they see them only on Christmas and Easter. That's called pastor humor for you. And I have to tell you that unfortunately, long ago in my life, that was me. I was a Christmas and Easter. And then all of a sudden, I met the Lord, and it was like I love visiting him every Sunday. And so if you're visiting tonight, this was my, I put this humor up here, because this is my invitation to you to not just come tonight, but to join our church. We have 3 services Sunday morning. It is fabulous people, and we learn the Word of God together. And the presence of the Lord is here. So don't make this the only night. Please come. Make 2018 like, okay, let's go to LifePoint Alliance. And you will never meet a better bunch of people attending this church. So let's talk about the Gospel of Luke. Here is the Christmas story about there being no room in the inn. So this is chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. So the Caesar at that time said, I'm going to hold the census. And actually, this is what's interesting. The Caesar wanted to hold the census and told everyone, I want you to all go back to the town that you were born in, and I want you to register, because connected with it was taxes. We want to make sure we know everyone that's in the Roman Empire. We want you to register, and we want to make sure you're paying your taxes. Now, can you believe that the government 2,000 years ago was interested in your taxes right before Christmas? I mean, isn't that crazy? History, none of you get it, huh? History repeats itself. So we just got a tax reform right before Christmas. So Joseph and Mary are living in, they're up in Nazareth, and they have to travel now to register and to pay their taxes. They have to travel to Bethlehem, where Joseph is born and where he's from. So they're traveling, she's pregnant, and to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem is 80 miles. And so, as we know, Mary either walked or rode a donkey for the 80 miles to Bethlehem. And when they arrive in Bethlehem, after 80 miles on a donkey, Mary goes, I think I'm going to deliver now. So they arrive. She's ready to deliver. And we read, oh, I have to tell you this. Interestingly enough, 700 years before Mary and Joseph have to go to Bethlehem, God prophesied through the prophet Micah 700 years before that, but you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. That's a way of referring to God. He is of old, from ancient times. So 700 years before, God said the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. Even the Jewish religious leaders, when Herod questioned them, said, oh yeah, the Messiah, when he's born, will be born in Bethlehem. God used the government, Caesar, to get Joseph and Mary to the proper place in order for the Son of God to be born. So Joseph, he went there to register with Mary. This is in Luke again. Who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, I believe that God's word, the Bible, every word is from the Lord, and I don't believe God added one word that wasn't necessary to the scripture, that every single word in the Bible has some meaning, some reason why God included it. And so I think to myself, it's interesting that God points out that there was no room for them in the inn, and so Mary had to deliver Jesus in a manger. I don't think that the world had a problem with Joseph. I don't think the world had a problem with Mary. I think there was no room in the inn for Jesus, the Son of God. And in fact, it's amazing how through history there has been no room in the inn for Jesus. So I thought we would look this tonight here just at a few examples in modern day time and some examples in the Bible where there was no room for Jesus. So here's some modern day examples. Now, this is a couple of years ago. The governor of Rhode Island decided, told all the people of Rhode Island that we aren't going to call it the Christmas tree anymore. That when they do a lighting, it's now going to be the holiday tree. We're going to call it the holiday tree. And by the way, I just read in the news that It is, we have so accepted that we now call this, you know, happy holidays, that even Christians, we all go happy holidays now, hey, have a happy holiday, that we even don't say Merry Christmas that much anymore. We've been so, you know, there's no room for Jesus, even for his birthday. So anyway, the governor said it's going to be a holiday tree. And so the night of the lighting of the holiday tree, a flash mob of Christians from all kinds of churches showed up and started singing, oh, Christmas tree, oh, Christmas tree, and we're singing and carrying on. Well, the governor the next year was like, decided the holiday tree would be lit on a night that he would not announce because he didn't want the Christians showing up and singing, oh, Christmas tree again. See, there's no room in the inn. There's no room for Christ. In Dufuniac, I can't believe that's the name of a town, Dufuniac Springs, Florida, a judge ordered the courthouse copy of the Ten Commandments to be covered during a murder trial for fear that jurors would be prejudiced against the defendant if they saw the commandment, do not kill. What this judge says now, this is so interesting. The judge is saying, first a lawyer has to prove that this person killed someone, and then you have to prove that that's actually wrong. Who says it's wrong to kill someone? I mean, we would all say, well, the Bible says that's wrong. That's one of the Ten Commandments. But the judge is going, that's religion. You have to prove he killed someone and that it's wrong that you kill someone. It's like, oh, boy. So right before I'm coming, I'm reading in, I shouldn't say the paper. I'm reading the news on my iPad. How many of you get a newspaper? Okay, all three of, two of you. So I'm reading on my iPad the news today, and I did not know this. Do you know that it was the case in Pittsburgh? Let me tell you what the case was that went to the Supreme Court. So the Pittsburgh authorities went to the Supreme Court whether they were allowed to have on public property, which they always had, whether they were allowed to have a Christmas tree, a Jewish menorah, or a manger scene. And so it is actually the case of Pittsburgh that went to the Supreme Court. And does anyone know what the Supreme Court decided that is the basis of what the whole country now follows because of Pittsburgh right here in our town? Does anyone know? How about the Christmas tree? What did the Supreme Court say? Yes, yay, or no? Yay. As long as you call it a holiday tree, it's okay. The Jewish menorah. Yay. Yay, that's okay too. The manger scene. No. No manger scenes. And it's that case in Pittsburgh, and that is what is practiced through the whole country. You can have Jewish menorahs, you can have other religious things, but no manger scenes. And you see, there's no room for Jesus. There's no room in the inn for Jesus. In Australia, in the news, the school superintendents for the country have gotten together and they've decided that only holiday cards can be given by the school children and teens to other children. What's a holiday card? Well, let me tell you what a Christian card is. A Christian card, Christmas card, is one that when you open it up may have a manger scene or Joseph and Mary walking with Jesus or the three wise men. That's pushing your religion. Those cards are not allowed in the public school system. You see, there's no room for Jesus. Okay. Christian students in a public high school outside of Seattle, Washington, saw permission to pray outside of school before classes. They should have just done it, right? But instead, they asked for permission. That was a mistake. The school superintendent fought the students after 8 federal court adjudications. You have to be a lawyer to say this stuff. 2 trips to the Supreme Court, 18 briefs, 22 depositions, 400,000 in the lawyers' pockets, right? Finally, the students were allowed to pray before school. Okay. It's like, wow, there's no room for Jesus. When Jesus began his ministry, he goes to his hometown that he grows up in Nazareth. And so here's what it says in Luke 4. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. Now, what do the people do that are in the synagogue? Why are they there in synagogue? To worship who? God, okay? And the Son of God shows up, okay? It's his house. It's his Father's house. And he shows up, okay? And he says to the people, he preached, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor," to all those who realize that they're spiritually poor and broke because we're sinners. "I've got good news for you. I'm going to go to the cross to pay for your sin. And he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind." So this week while I was working on this sermon, there was an article in the news again about the number of people who are either addicted to alcohol, illicit drugs like heroin, cocaine, all that stuff, and opioids, is that? Do you know that it's growing? One out of every 10 people is addicted, not just casual users, actually addicted, one out of 10. So let's see, if we have 700 people that come to this church, how many people would that be? 70, yeah. And it's growing. I was like, wow, that is a lot of Americans. One out of 10. And let me tell you, the government is pulling out their hair, trying to figure out how do we help these people, because these people feel trapped. They feel imprisoned. It binds them. It is so difficult to get free from these addictions. And the government's like, they're trying to figure out some counseling or they're literally like, maybe we should use these drugs to help them to get free of those drugs, and then we'll use those drugs to get free of this drug. I mean, they're like, and I'm thinking to myself, it's Jesus. He came to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. It's Jesus that our country needs. But you see, there's no room for Jesus. He comes with good news to his own house, to his Father's house, and he tells the people, "Look, I'm going to bring salvation, I'm going to bring healing, I'm going to bring deliverance." And when they heard it, all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up and drove him out of the town and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. There's no room for you, Jesus, in the synagogue. In fact, in Revelation, it even says there are churches that there's no room for Jesus, even in churches. That Jesus is knocking on the door of churches. "Hey, can I come in?" And the churches are going, "Sorry, we like to play church, but there's actually no room in the inn for you, Jesus." In fact, the only place there was room for Jesus was on the cross. We had room for him there on the cross. You know, Jesus was born in a manger because there was no room in the inn. And I was contemplating, like, why was Jesus born in a manger? Here's three reasons. I'm sure there are many other reasons. Number one, Jesus was born in a manger because it shows that he came as a savior for all. If he was born in a castle, then only rich people would think Jesus came for them, but Jesus came for the poor, the rich, black and white, all languages, nations. Number two, I don't know if you noticed this, but when he's in the manger, like every manger I've ever seen has sheep around it. Have you ever noticed that? Usually when you have a manger scene, you set it up and you got some sheep. Now sometimes there's camels. But how did the camels get there? From the wise men, right? But there were shepherds all around, and most mangers had sheep in them. So it would not be surprising there were sheep in this manger. I see all these sheep hanging around there. Do you know that for thousands of years, the Jewish people would take a lamb, and this is their religion. This was pointing to Jesus. They would take a lamb to the temple, they would confess their sins on the lamb, and then the lamb would be slain. It was showing that there would be an innocent sacrifice to cover their sins. And so for thousands of years, the Jewish people were taking a lamb that they would sacrifice to cover their sins. But God was like, but the ultimate lamb is that those sheep, those lambs were just pointing. They're just symbolic of Jesus, who John the Baptist went, look, there is the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world. So it was God saying, it's appropriate that the Son of God is born with the lambs, because they've been pointing to him for the Jewish people for thousands of years. And he is the Lamb, the ultimate Lamb in that manger. And then the third reason I thought about this manger was a manger is dirty, smelly, not a very clean place to be. And the Lord was like, Joe, this is what it is like when people open up their hearts to me. You see, the Bible says our heart is deceitfully wicked. In fact, our hearts are more wicked than we realize, because we deceive ourselves in thinking we're pretty decent, but actually our hearts are pretty awful. And when Jesus comes in, I mean, maybe we're ashamed. Oh, Jesus, oh, if you knew the junk in my life, the dung in my life through the past that I try to forget, I don't know if you could ever live in my heart. And Jesus says, no problem. I know what it's like to come to a manger and how to clean up. I want to show you in the Gospel of John, we have the theological story of Christmas. So it's interesting. It's the same story as Luke, but it's given to us in theological terms. In the beginning was the Word. Who's the Word? It's Jesus. And the Word was with God. Jesus was with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And the Word was God. He is the Son of God. So we got the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He was with God in the beginning. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own. He came to the earth as a human. He came to us. He came to the Jewish people. He came to the Gentiles, the Romans. He came to that which was his own, but his own, what? Did not receive him. You see, there was no room in the inn. Yet, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. So to all the people, so there's one group of people that do not receive him. There's no room in the inn, but there's a smaller group that does receive him. And to all of those who do receive him, to those who believe in his name, that he is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, that he was buried and rose again, you get the right to become a child of God, a son or daughter of God, and you get to live with God for eternity in heaven. You see, the story of the no room in the inn is actually being repeated over and over again for every single person who ever lives. Do you see, Jesus actually comes. I was thinking the original story, it's Mary and Joseph coming with Jesus, but in the story that I'm sharing, the Father and the Holy Spirit come to every person. The Holy Spirit brings conviction, Holy Ghost conviction. and says, do you have room? The Holy Spirit comes and says, do you have room in your heart, in your inn, for Jesus, the Son of God? Can Jesus be born in you? Do you have any space for him? And just like in the Bible times, every one of us gets to make a decision. For some people, for lots of people, they go, you know what, Jesus, I'm sorry, but all my rooms are filled. This room is filled with money. I really love money. And this room is filled with sports. Most of my rooms are filled with self. And I really don't have any room for you. There's no vacancy in my life. And it's a sad story. But yet, for those who will receive him, for those who will say, I've got room for you, Jesus, it's going to be like a manger. It's not cleaned up. It's a mess. But if you're willing and you want to come in, I'm open to opening up my inn, my life to you. See, when it's someone's birthday, you give them a present. So you know what the best present you can give Jesus is? I was thinking, my wife and I, what's the best present that we can get from our 6 kids? It isn't the gifts. The best present that our kids give us is their presence and their love. To come to our home, to be part of our lives. That's the best present parents could ever get from their kids. And the best present you could give Jesus Christ tonight is your heart. It's your heart. And to say, Jesus, there's room in my inn for you. So let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes. And maybe there's someone here, I'm just praying there's one, who you're open to asking Jesus Christ into your life. Now, when you do, believe me, though it may seem scary, it's the most amazing, wonderful thing that you could ever do. When you allow your Creator, the one that knows you inside out, to come into your life and your heart, it is like amazing. It is wonderful. It is, it's like meeting the person you were always supposed to meet to be your best friend. We were made to have fellowship with God, for God to be our best friend. It's so amazing that the Bible says it's like you become a new creation, a new creature. And he walks with you, and he talks with you, and he blesses you. And it's just, and he starts cleaning you up at his pace. He helps you. He sets you free from the things that are destroying you or destroying your relationships. It's a wonderful thing. So if you're here tonight and you've never given your heart to Jesus, it would be a great present to give him tonight, this Christmas Eve. I'm going to pray a prayer out loud, and I invite you to pray along with me silently and open your heart to Jesus while I pray out loud. Lord Jesus, tonight there's room in my inn, in my heart for you. I open the door of my life and ask Jesus that you would be my Savior. Thank you for being the Lamb of God who took away my sins on the cross. Jesus, I want to follow you. Come into my heart to be my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for forgiving my sins. Thank you that I am now a son or daughter of the living God. Thank you for my salvation. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to pray a prayer blessing over those of you that prayed that prayer with me tonight. So if you, no one's looking, everyone's head is bowed and eyes closed. Those of you that prayed that prayer with me tonight, I want you to just slip your hand up, and then after you see it, put it down and say, Pastor, I prayed that along with you. Anyway, God bless you, brother. Anyone else? God bless you. You can put your hand down after I see you. So. Anyone else other than these two brothers here? Two very special men. Father, I pray for these two men, and I pray that they would really sense your presence in their life. We all pray. Holy Spirit, may you give them the assurance of their salvation, that they are sons of the living God. Lord, may you etch into their mind and their heart that on Christmas Eve 2017, they joined the family of God. May they sense your presence. May this be the beginning of a great life with you from this day forward. And we give you thanks. In your name we pray. Amen.